So, guys, we have another episode on the podcast, and today I have Pat Curran on. Pat's currently coming from Mexico. He's an absolute machine. You'll need to check him out after this. But yeah, Pat, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for the opportunity, man. Looking forward to getting stuck in and having a good chat today.
Awesome, mate. So, I suppose, mate, just to give the guys a bit of context, like, tell them. How long have you been training for? A little bit about yourself. What got you into training? Where are you at now? Some of your coaching. Yeah, just give us a little bit of a snapshot.
Okay, so I am 34 now. I started training pretty seriously, weight training wise, when I was 15 or so. From then on, I was pretty serious about it. I was just completely bitten by the bug. I started competing in bodybuilding at age 16. I did my first bodybuilding competition, and I said I was bitten by the bug. Then I was really bitten by the bug. Absolutely, just fell in love with it. Even back then, so that was 2006, is what it was. My first competition. Back then, it was a lot more niche. It was a lot more kind of maybe underground. It was a bit of a freak show. It was just really a weird and wonderful world that people were getting on stage and doing all this bodybuilding stuff. It wasn't cool at all. Like, I was in high school at the time, and guys used to take the piss out of me for doing it and stuff like that, whereas I don't think it would happen these days. Anyway, fell in love with bodybuilding. First competition at 16, won my first junior national championships at 17. Went on to basically compete. I did my final competition in the year 2018. So what's that's about 12 years or so on and off of competing. Won three national bodybuilding championships in that time. In the meantime, in that 12 years, I transitioned into powerlifting as well. Ironically, this is something we'll probably talk about in our podcast, but ironically, for me, taking a break from bodybuilding and diving into powerlifting for about 3 years was one of the best things I ever did for my physique and one of the best things I ever did for my bodybuilding. And that took my muscle thickness and muscle size to a whole new level. So I benched so my I suppose my biggest achievement or my proudest achievement in the my foray into powerlifting was a bench press 202.5 kilos in official powerlifting competition. I
What
totaled
body
over
weight were you
700
at?
kilos. I was funny enough, so I competed in like under 110 kg, and I stood on the scales at like 102, 101 kilos.
Okay.
I could have just cut down. I could have cut 1 or 2 kilos down to one, under 100, and I just didn't care. I was just all about like, let's just see what I can lift here, and I didn't. I wasn't worried about body weight competition or anything like that. But you've triggered me there, because that's one unfinished business I have in powerlifting, is I haven't done an official double body weight bench press in competition. So I'd like to maybe go back and take that box, hit an official double body weight bench. So did my bodybuilding, done powerlifting. I also studied a degree in strength and conditioning. Went back to bodybuilding. And I moved to 6 weeks after my last bodybuilding competition in 2018. I moved over to Canada. I was based there for about 5 6 years. As you said, I'm down in Mexico now. But for the past 5 6 years, it's very much just been coaching focused. Coaching has been my number one priority. I did get into a little bit of strongman training and strongman competing. Even I'm a demon for competing. I love to compete. I competed last year first time in strongman. I'm hoping to squeeze in maybe another competition this year. But at this point, it's really just for fun and a new challenge.
Mate, you've done so much. It's cool to see. You mentioned that the powerlifting had such a big effect on your physique. Do you feel that, like, for most general gym goers, that they're shying away from those big core three lifts?
100%, and maybe not even the three core lifts, but I think they shy away from the principle and even the concept a little bit of focusing on getting strong, like, and really prioritizing getting strong. Obviously, getting strong is the name of the game in powerlifting. You're forced to progressively overload, you're forced to put on more weight on your squat, bench, deadlift each week, and that's going to build your legs, your chest, your back, and everything else, as it did mine. But I think a lot of guys they get conflated, or they think, a lot of guys think, oh, I just do bodybuilding, or I just train for muscle size. And they think that means, you know, going in and getting a sick pump on the cables and just sick pump on the machines and training hard. And, you know, as long as they do that and they walk out and they've got a good burn and a good pump, it's like, yeah, job done. But they actually don't know. They don't definitively know if they've lifted more weight than last week, or they've lifted more weight than last month. And quite oftentimes, guys as well, they fall into the trap of, like, you know, they say, oh yeah, when I do my dumbbell presses, I usually use about 30 kilos, or I usually use whatever, 20 kilos, whatever it might be. Or yeah, for biceps, I normally pick up the 15s. And they just kind of have this mental association with, like, this exercise is about this much weight. And they don't ever really focus enough on progressing those weights. And as I said, I guess found out the hard way, that progressing those weights is a game changer for physique.
And like, you've obviously competed, like, during when you weren't doing the bodybuilding, you were competing in powerlifting. And even when we were chatting off air, you were like kind of a bit gutted that you couldn't compete because there's different dead days that are on the competition. How do you motivate yourself, and I suppose your clients too, when they, like, they've just finished the cut and then it's muscle gain phase? Like, how do you keep them motivated, locked in, like, focused? Because it's slower, it's hard to tell your progress. Like, yeah.
You're asking specifically how to kind of stay locked in a size gain phase, or when the results are less sexy, so to speak, or
yeah, like, because you compete, probably, and that seems to be what's done well for you. But for the guys that are maybe, like, they're an accountant and they don't really, it's just about looking good. It's not, do you know what I mean? How do you get them to stay locked in?
So the two things come to mind is, number one is, like, stretching the vision. So, you know, thinking, right, maybe right now it's October. It's not, obviously right now it's not, but, you know, you finished up your summer cut and it's October, November, and the hoodie's back on, and, you know, you're not going to be taking your shirt off in front of the guys or in front of the ladies, whatever, for another 6 months. It's like, that, you know, stretch the vision and imagine, right, how do I want to look? How do I want to feel? How do I want to perform on the beach with the lads in 6 months' time, or in June, or whatever it might be, 8 months' time? And just kind of hold yourself accountable to really tap it into, you know, like it or not, that day is going to roll around again. And you want to look back with pride and be like, yeah, you know what? I'm in the best possible shape I can be. You know, it's not about being Mr. Olympia or Mr. Ireland or whatever else, but just looking back and say, yeah, I gave it my best for those 6 months. Secondly is, like, learning to just love the process, man. You know, it's not all, and I've said this cold hard truth to some of the guys I work with too. It's not all fucking fun. And, you know, every week you're getting more veins and you're like, it's just that instant gratification from every workout or every week. Sometimes it's just about putting on the, you know, keeping that hoodie on and just getting the meals in and hitting the gym and stacking the days and stacking the weeks and just learning to fall in love with the process and learning to fall in love with maybe the routine of it all and the repetition of it all. And coming back around as well to the strength side of things is to set mini targets along the way. You know, set, if you're benching 80 kilos for five now, bring it up to 85 for five, 90 for five, and just keep bumping up and get excited by the numbers and get, you know, chase the numbers a little bit. And that might not be your main passion, and, you know, it might not be speaking to some guys might listen to that and think, ah, oh, that's not my thing, but that will have a knock-on effect, you know, 6 months down the line, 8 months down the line, when it does come to taking off that shirt. Like, that's where the magic happens, and that's when the work happens. You know, it's not all in that 8 week stint or that 12 week cut or whatever it might be. You know, the magic happens in the mundane and in stringing together the workouts.
So you're always sort of thinking of the end in mind, like the longer vision. That's what gets you through those flat days, where it's just a routine.
Yeah. I'd say, to summarize again, it's probably always kind of thinking long term, like, how do I want to look and feel? You know, right now it's February. I'm getting married in July. Like, that's, for me, that's just a small little mental checkpoint for me. I'm like, right, I want to look my best, feel sharp. And I don't want to be, you know, come start of June with there's 7 weeks left to go, like, oh god, hit the treadmill and, like, go hard now for the next, you know, I just want to rock up there quite confidently and calmly, so to speak, and just know I've been giving it my best. I've been training hard for the last however many months. Yeah, likewise, just learning to kind of fall in love with the process. I'll be honest with you. Like even last week, I was going out, I was walking across to the gym with my wife to be, and I said to her, I just don't really feel that motivated today. And I lightly just hit her on the arm, and I just kind of looked at her and laughed, and we just kind of laughed because like I basically never feel motivated these days, or I rarely feel motivated these days. And it was like a joke to say, you know, I don't feel that motivated. You know, you just fall in love with the process, fall in love with the grind, and just you're just getting in there anyway, and you're just getting doing what needs to be done. And hey, look, as well, you know, we're me and you are coaches, and I know we both have coaches. I have a coach myself. I have a plan that, you know, I'm following, that I'm progressing, that and I'm just trusting the process, man. And it always inevitably does pay off.
That's a great point. I want to add 2 points to that about actually sort of falling in the love and the process. The first thing you've highlighted about coach, I do think to get through those sort of like, you know, more mundane points in your training journey, you need someone or people around you that are just at a different level to pull you. And it's not even that, like, it's just that, you know, you can visually see, like, yes, you can go online and stuff, but you can visually see what a different level of strength, training, mindset, like execution. Like I've dabbled in a little bit of physique competing and bodybuilding and whatnot, but it's not my main goal. It doesn't get me going. But one thing that I do respect, I have a great friend that's like doing really well with it. It's just his commitment, like his level of focus. And when you're around individuals like that, you just take, it just rubs into you and it allows for you. Do you find that, like, just being around, especially your guys, when you give them, they're probably the big guy, your coaching beasts, they're probably the big guy in their gym. But when you when they're around the tribe, they're like, okay, there's levels.
Yeah, 100%, man. It works both ways. Number one is like, yeah, definitely aspire to lead from the front for my guys. And, you know, it's not for everyone, but I'm a real straight talker to the lads that I do coach. And, you know, I'll tell them, like, fucking, you know, don't be a pussy. Let's fucking get in there and out tonight. And, you know, like, don't be shying away from your goals and just hard truths. And likewise for myself, you know, I can talk with that conviction because I don't accept excuses from myself, and I'll get in there. But so that's, I suppose, me leading from the front in my community. And then likewise, 2 weeks ago or so, I was scrolling, I was looking at my coach's stories, and I saw this person putting, it was over 100 kilos overhead. I think it was 3 or 4 reps. And he wrote on the caption, he was like 100 kilos for 4 reps. And he had the like brain explosion emoji kind of thing. And I can't put 100 kilos overhead for reps like that. And I was like, maybe I could get up to that level, and I could like impress Max that much. Maybe I could impress him that much, right? And then I looked at the freaking, then I really took in the story, and it was a woman. It was a woman that he coaches that's putting 100 kilos overhead for 3 or 4 reps.
I was,
you're talking about levels, man. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I, with how I started to know Phil was, there was a gym called Rock Pit, and Phil used to co-own it, used to personal train out of it. And I noticed that he was training with some of the powerlifters, and he coached them. So what, I was 16, 17 at the time. And I started, they one day they put up about, we need some spotters for the gym. So me and my friend, said about it, and we said we went for it and whatnot. And at the end of it, they let us jump in and do our 1RMs and stuff. And there's me, like, literally about to go do my 1RM. I just remember this big, massive powerlifter, probably about 120, 130 kilo body weight. He slaps me in the back and he goes, remember, son, there's a Russian young girl out there. It's warming up with your match. Now go and do it. And it just, you see, like, for me, it was 200 kilos, and it was just like, right, okay. And then he started showing me after all these, like, females and things lifting these ridiculous weights. And in that moment, he said, there's levels. And I was quite young and egotistical at the time. So, it was.
I think you bring up another point as well. Like, I always, again, it's something I say to the guys, like, and for myself as well, it's great, you know, be proud of your lifts, and, you know, be, if you've, whatever level you're at, doesn't, I don't even need to say any numbers. If you put 5 more kilos on your lift or your squat, whatever, like, be proud of that, but don't be complacent as well. And, you know, zoom out and think big picture. And, you know, it's not about comparison, but just a little bit of, like, perspective maybe is a better word. Like, another woman that comes to mind, I don't know if you're familiar with her name, is Jessica Bittner. I always take a lot of inspiration from her. She's Canadian drug tested powerlifter, and she's like absolute beast of a woman. And you know, like, just, you see the level that these ladies are lifting at, and it just puts things in perspective. But I suppose the take home message is really, like, be proud of whatever level you're at. There's always going to be people that are stronger than you, but don't be complacent, and, you know, have perspective, and don't get an ego about how strong you are. You might be the biggest fish in your pond or in your small gym, but like you said, there's a Russian 13-year-old girl warming up with your weights as well somewhere.
Yeah, 100%. And like something that you mentioned about kind of like visualizing where you'll look next summer and things. And what I try to myself, I try to say to a lot of guys is like get excited about the next stage. And what I mean by that, like it might be like the phrase that I use is like, I want to be able, right? You're in good shape now, but I want to be able to like put a photo of you where it literally looks like you've ate yourself, like literally completely thicker, bigger, and start to visualize like your body parts, start to visualize where you're different, even like start to visualize how you train and get excited about that whole process. And even like sometimes there will be like for guys more. You kind of always want to keep the basics and you want to progressively overload, but sometimes a bit of novelty can actually allow for you to progress in the long run just because it stimulates you because it's something new and something different, but it has a time and a place in a program. Do you like do any of that or like yeah, like for guys training a few years into their training, like is there anything that you do to get them excited or to visualize that next level in their physique or to get them going in the gym.
Just one thing that just came to mind when you were talking about visualizing and thinking about, you know, that body part and thinking about that thickness that you'll have is, you know, it was a very helpful frame for me many years ago, was like actually starting to, you know, if you're whatever weight, if you're 150 pounds right now and you want to get up to 180 or 200 even long term, like, you got to start eating and behaving and training like a guy that's 200 pounds of muscle. You know, if you can't, if you still have this belief and this self-identity of like, oh, I'm just a 150 pound guy, I just need to eat about this much, and you kind of stay in that comfort zone, so to speak. Whereas if you actually start treating yourself like a 200 pound man and you start eating like a 200, you know, just gradually, step by step, start eating like a 200 pound man and start training like with the discipline of that guy, you know. But I suppose step in, you know, that phrase, fake it till you make it kind of thing, like, step into that identity of that big fucking beast in the gym that you want to be. Step into that before you're actually there, and, you know, start treating yourself and holding yourself to that level of standards with your nutrition, with your training and stuff like that. In terms of novelty, so yeah, look, I suppose brutally honest as well, it's probably one of my superpowers is like the lack of need for novelty, or as a kind of a bodybuilder at heart, I can kind of just tick the boxes and do what needs to be done. That said, I actually, believe it or not, I'm nearly going to say I hate being in the gym. I don't necessarily love to be in the gym. Before we started recording, Ben, you were saying, oh, you know, after I do my boxing, I want to do 5 6 days in the gym, hypertrophy. I'm just like, I've never trained 5 6 days a week. Yeah, I don't like it. I train 3 to 4 days a week, even at the peak of my bodybuilding, peak of powerlifting. That's just what works for me and my intensity and my mindset. I like to get in, I like to get out, and I like to keep my sessions short. So if you are finding yourself kind of bored in the gym, you know, I challenge you maybe to bring a bit more intent. I'm not, you know, it's not saying you're training wrong or anything like that, but different guys neurologically, brain-wise, are going to work or respond differently to a different type of training. 4 is pretty much the max that I'd recommend. So even maybe sometimes even it is a case of just taking an extra rest day. And by that, the magic I find often in that extra rest day is actually the level of fired upness, it gets you to get back in there again, you know. So if you are training 5 days a week, 6 days a week, and I respect guys, I get guys all the time that come to me for a coaching, and they're, you know, they're doing more than they even need to be, because they're doing the 5 or 6 days a week in the gym. But sometimes less is more, and you'll actually fire yourself up more and be more inspired to get in there if you do that a little bit less. So obviously, you know, the intensity still has to be there too. You can add in a little bit more of intensity techniques. So I like to get, there's a couple of things I will do in my coaching pretty much universally, will be like things like cluster sets, like rest pause sets, drop sets, that kind of stuff, to make sure that you're getting a lot of work in a condensed period of time.
Making it very dense sessions.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Why do you do that? Like, what have you found from that to be beneficial over like a standard sort of bodybuilding style split? Like, why do you believe that's an effective method?
I mean, just in terms of let's dissect the method a little bit, you know, for guys listening, and rather than just talk about why it's the best. So let's just take a rest pause set, for example. So let's just say, so what a rest pause set is, let's say you do a set of 12 reps to failure on the lat pull down. You stop, you pause, take a rest. Well, I'll do usually 25 seconds or 15 breaths. So it works out about the same either way. 25 seconds, 15 breaths, you go again. You might get 8 reps this time. 15 breaths, 25 seconds, you go again. You might get 5 reps. So in the period of about, let's say, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, you'll have done 12, 8, 5 reps, 3 sets to failure, essentially, on the lat pull down machine. Muscle building science, to the best of my knowledge, says that you know, reps that are closest to failure are the most impactful or the most stimulating for muscle growth. So you've just got 3 of those reps. You've just got 3 sets to failure in the space of 2 minutes. And likewise for guys like myself that don't, like, I love to go hard, but I'm to use the analogy, like I'm a sprinter mentally and a sprinter physically in terms of the gym rather than a marathon guy. I like to go in and go hard. So that suits me mentally as well. I can go in and just fucking really use that energy. And I'm out of there in, you know, 75 minutes is usually about ideal for me, rather than if you're doing, you know, if your program calls for 5 sets of 10 to 12 and you're leaving 2 or 3 reps in the tank every time. Like, to me personally, that style of training, I find it kind of boring. I don't really find it engaging. So that could be a good way to get some novelty in. As I said, it works well mentally if you're the type of guy that just likes to go intense, but also puts a little bit of a lid on, you know, not doing too much. And then, as I said, to the best of my knowledge and in my real life experience, it works quite well as well in terms of just getting those reps to failure in a condensed period.
What would you say is the downside of it? Because every method, you know, yourself has like some form of, oh, but this might be an issue, or like, what would you say the downside of that method is?
I think that maybe the application, so I'm glad you brought that up, is like a rest pause set or something like that is something I would only do in a situation like a lat pull down or like a chest support or row machine, or maybe like a leg extension machine, something where I'm locked in and I can't let that technique really break down to failure. Whereas I'd never say to a guy like, you know, maybe for example, a flat dumbbell press where there's a lot of instability up in there and the weights can be wobbling and you're at a much higher risk of injury if you misapply rest pause. Likewise, I'd never do it with, say, a barbell squat, where you're going to failure and then racking the bar and, you know, just getting in under it again. You know, you could be setting yourself up for a back injury or something like that. But it definitely has its limitations, and I'd only use it on a machine like a bicep preacher curl machine, something where you're just very much locked in and you're quite safe and the technique can't really break down.
And do you find from that method, mate, I use rest pause sets, but I'm just sort of like unpacking and getting a bit of an idea.
Yeah.
Obviously, you built a lot of tissue and helped a lot of other guys and things. Do you find from that method that it can sometimes leave you, your central nervous system, a bit fried afterwards if you're always going towards that sort of top end intensity with that?
So I will, like I said, I'll always train three to four days a week. Like even when I was, you know, living and breathing bodybuilding, trying to be the best I could be, the best powerlifter I could be, and all the rest of it, that was my top value, top priority. It's like 4 days was my peak. Any more than that, I do find my central nervous system, my energy, my tiredness, everything kind of takes a bit of a dip. Now I'll do 3 to 4 days a week, likewise with all the guys that I coach, but we'll also do a deload week then. The frequency of the deload week is going to depend, but we'll say on average every 4 to 7 weeks, roughly. If I was to give a guideline, I'd probably say for every 5 weeks of training you do, take a lighter week on the sixth week. Just again, brief high level, I'd sort of cut the total amount of sets you do down by maybe a third. So if you normally do three sets, do two sets, and just, you know, don't be doing those rest pause sets. Don't be going balls to the wall. Just leave a couple of reps in the tank, go through the motions, get a sweat and a pump on in the gym, and you'll actually come back stronger than the next week.
And like, so taking that sort of methodology that you've built over years and things, would you say that most guys out there, they don't train hard enough in those last reps when really challenge you, and they don't rest hard enough where they actually rest properly and don't train so much? Do you think that's the issue? Like, we're seeing training frequent, training often, but not going to the either way, not fully resting more. Like, recovery game could be harder and better, and also the intensity game of the actual training could be better to drive a better result.
Yeah, I think that definitely recovery, you know, I'm sure you probably see the same, Ben. You know, 90% of the guys that come to me are saying, look, you know, I love to train hard, but the nutrition is lacking. You know, the nutrition is not great for me. I think definitely recovery is hugely underrated, or nutrition even is hugely underrated. With the training, I'd say something I probably see is maybe not training that smart, or just not really knowing what, you know, the best bang for buck exercises and knowing how to execute them properly and stuff like that. I'd say but that's probably another bigger issue in the training side of things. And then not tracking your weights and not tracking just tracking the weights and the what you're actually lifting. When you start doing that actually just, there's no way around it. It just forces you to bring an extra level of intensity because you have to beat what you did last week. Whereas if you're just, the only standard you're holding yourself to is like, oh, I went in and I trained hard, but you know, hard is just subjective of how you're feeling on a given day. It doesn't necessarily guarantee that you've done more. And the only way to force muscle growth on is to do more.
I'm going to squeeze a little bit more from you, mate, because I feel like most people will know that they need to execute exercises well and also log their weights. When someone works with you, what is it that surprises them? By, like, you mentioned about like the how you program things, doing the right things, bang for buck. What is it like that you find, oh, like they're like, that's different and that works? What's that bit?
And that works. Two things come to mind. One is like, sometimes guys are like, is that all? Is that this, you know, should I do a fifth day, or maybe I'll squeeze in some more arms on Sunday or something? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. You know, they'll try to do more. Whereas I say, like, if you're, let's say we're doing dips, you know, the tricep dips, if you work your way up to doing, you know, at the peak of my powerlifting, I was doing 70 kilos hanging out of my body and doing that for reps. Like, my triceps did not lack any size, and I did not need to be going in on a Sunday and doing 5 sets of 10 on the cable extensions, you know what I mean, to build any more triceps. So I think guys, like, they want to do more arm. Yeah, and I respect it. We all want big arms. But I think guys kind of undervalue, like, listen, if you just get strong on pull-ups and rows, and yeah, of course, train your biceps a little bit like that. And likewise with the dips and the close grip bench presses for your triceps, like, arm work doesn't need a hell of a lot of direct work or direct volume, because they get hit in other ways. So that's probably one thing that surprises people. Yeah, that's the main thing that comes to mind. I did have something else, but it's gone for now.
All right, don't worry. Now, one thing earlier that you mentioned was about, this is something that I do every now and again when I'm sort of really trying to chase up like my strength and chase new loads. So generally, like, I know today we've talked about sort of staying locked in, especially as you're gaining and you're wanting to put on size. I always have like one lift that I want to hit a certain number on. So say, for example, it's like, right, I want to lift the 50s for presses. Or say, for example, it's like, I want to squat this weight. And like, even if I can't say, for example, do 8 reps or 6 reps, whatever it is, even just getting 3 or 4 reps to get used to holding it in your hands. Now, I know from like my strength and conditioning background that like that fires motor neurons and things like that, and that can actually benefit more muscle mass. But you said about behaving like that type of person. In my mind, I just done this not like just every now and again, you get yourself, you feel on a good day, you've had loads of food in you, and you're like, what, well, fuck it, let's even just hold these and see what's there. Do you do that? Like, do you see any benefit from that? Because for me, even if it's a psychological win that you've held the weight, you've been able to do a few reps, like, is that something that you've ever like done? Obviously, please do not, like, anyone listening to this, like, don't injure yourself getting this advice. Like, there's a time and a place. Like, it's not something you want to do every week either. Yeah.
No, it's, you're absolutely right, Ben. And you know, I coach a handful of powerlifters as well, and obviously powerlifting background myself. So one of the things, we'll have two guys competing this weekend even, and one of the things I would do before a competition is, so whatever my third attempt, which would be like that, you know, a weight I'd never really hit before at the competition, something that was, you know, my next big PB, like I would actually take that out of the rack and I would just hold it for 10 seconds in my training, and I would just get used to that. You know, when you take out the bar and you're going for a new PB, yeah, and in the back of your head you're like, oh shit, like, you know, it's a little bit like, whoa, this is heavier than I thought. But just getting used to feeling those weights is definitely a useful practice, especially with the bench and stuff like that as well, just to get rid of that sort of shock factor. But yeah, and I think guys, you know, just because, as you said, a lot of guys, you know, we all, when they're training for muscle, it's 8 to 12 reps, 12 to 15 reps, something like that. If you can hit a weight for, you know, 3 reps or 4 reps, 5 reps, and it's, you know, maybe you haven't done it perfectly and maybe it's not going to be a staple in your training, but just to kind of move up or, you know, do that one extra set on the day you're feeling good and feel that heavier weight, I think there's nothing wrong with that, definitely. Obviously, we'll put the small print or the, you know, the caveat there, like, you know, do it sensibly, and but there is a time and a place for it, definitely. Yeah.
And so you're getting in under a big heavy squat rack and you're getting that anxiety, fuck, can I do this? What do you tell yourself? How do you get locked in mentally, like when you've got a big PR set in front of you?
Yeah, you know, one of the guys actually asked me this recently, and a rant ensued, or some hard truths ensued. But I suppose the bottom line, or the take-home message I always kind of say is, well, actually, a wise old powerlifter told me this once upon a time. He said, respect the weights, don't fear the weights. So you know, if you're going in for your next big PB, absolutely, you know, you respect it, you know, you don't fuck around under that weight, but you don't fear it, you know, don't be scared of that weight, but respect it. Secondly is, you just have to, you have to want the outcome more than any fear of injury or any more a fear of failure or anything like that. You just have to want that next PB, you have to want that 150 kilos. And almost, you know, the analogy I use is like, you're just running into a freaking, like, so, but I'll get sidetracked here a little bit. So what I actually told my client was, like, back in the day, I worked 10 years as a nightclub security, nightclub bouncer, right? And every now and then you'd be in work, you're in the nightclub, you're in the pub, and it's fucking chaos just kicks off. This fight just absolutely kicks off. And you got to just fucking run in there and do your thing and get people, you know, get the fight broken up and get people out of there. And you had to, you know, at the end of the night, you know, or at the end of the, in 10 minutes later, when everyone's huffing and puffing and all the guys that you're working with are looking around at each other and thinking, holy fuck, that was crazy. Like, you want to be the guy that's like, you know, you had the guys back and you were brave and you just did what needed to be done and you helped the guys, and your reputation is almost at stake to a certain extent. And it's the same kind of energy that I use going into that weight. Is like, I don't want to walk away at the end of that night and feel like I was a fucking coward and I let my team down and, you know, people got hurt because I backed away. And likewise, I don't want to walk away from the gym that night feeling like I was a coward. And I never, to be honest, to be fair to me, I never walk away from the gym thinking like I could have hit that. I don't know why I put the weight down. I don't know why I stopped grinding. I should have hit that. Like I will just not fucking. I'll just go for it and I'll bring that aggressive, like intense energy to just get the job done, so to speak. And I want to hit. You have to want to hit that weight more than you're scared of any failure. And you throw self-preservation out the window, so to speak, and you just get stuck in and do what needs to be done.
100%. And like you do see a lot of people that are just quite flaccid. They're not really locked in and going for it. You have to be all in that, you just have to be all in.
And look, different, different intensities and different mindsets work for different people. Not everybody has to have that crazy intensity, but as long as you're confident and you're committed to just finishing the lift and giving it your absolute best and walking away knowing that you gave it your best, then you can't really ask for much more. But if you are going there, one of my I like to do, like when I'm at powerlifting meets and stuff like that, maybe it's not the healthiest thing, but sometimes I'll just look at people and I'm like, nah, he's gonna fail. And I just know by the way, their body language, by their energy, by their mindset. I'm just like, nah, he's not gonna get that.
Well, what is
And
it?
then sometimes I see it in the gym too.
What is it you pick up?
I would say if I was to sum it up in a word, it's intimidation. I pick up intimidation. They're intimidated by the weights. They're, as I said, there's difference between respecting the weights and fearing the weights. I think when you've crossed that line, it's like don't even try it. Don't even bother. Just fucking, you gotta go for it, like 100% all in or not,
That's interesting. Now, Pat, you're a seasoned coach. You've coached for years. It's not like this is something brand new. And you mentioned earlier on that you call a lot of your clients out. What are you generally calling them out for? Like, because well, the reason why I'm asking that is because in that, what you're like, the bits that they're falling track on, we can extract that for the podcast listeners. That's the bit that they need to progress. So, what are generally the things that people are cutting corners and you need to highlight to them?
So, like I say, probably the last two main kind of shares I put in my own community over the past 2 weeks was just like the principle of like not missing meals. Like you just cannot be missing protein. You can't be missing nutrients if you are if whether your main goal is fat loss or if your main goal is muscle building. Like people, I think guys give themselves too much credit if just because they go to the gym and they train hard and maybe they drank their protein shake afterwards. Like that is not enough. You have to be hitting your nutrition. You can't be just eat healthy and train hard. Like you gotta be getting those meals in. I say to guys, like, I don't care, just get up earlier and prep the meals, or stay up later, or two examples in my own real life in the past 2 weeks. I'm living down in Mexico. I mentioned before we started recording, Ben, it can be very inconsistent here. So we went into the grocery store, the supermarket, closed. That's it. All the payment systems are down. Power was out. Right. We went home with no meat at all for dinner. So I just blending up this freaking oversized, massive protein shake in the blender with like basically two meals worth of protein and carbs and everything else. And I was just drinking out of this huge blender jug. That was last week. And then just this week, just gone, I ended up basically working from 9 in the morning till 7 at night. And during that time, I only had a protein shake. I didn't have my meals with me. Came home. And basically, I ate my dinner at. I came home and I was home around, say, 7:30. And in that time period, for me to have we'll call it a perfect day in terms of training and nutrition, I needed to get three meals in and a training session in. So I ate my dinner at 8:30. I trained at 9 to 10, and I drank a shake while I trained, and then I had another meal about 10:30. So in the space of 2.5 hours, I had like a training session, two solid meals, and a protein shake. And it's not ideal. I'm not recommending people do that, but I am recommending as a non-negotiable that if that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. And you get those fucking meals in, and you get that food in, and you get the workouts in. And it's not, I hate when guys tell me like, oh yeah, I got home late and I didn't really have time to eat, so I just went to bed. Or like, get it, if you have a blender and you have protein powder, like you get any macros you want in 5 minutes. Likewise, like, oh, I slept in late, well, fucking get up earlier and make the food, like just have to be. And then I learned the hard way too, and it was a game changer for me when I made that not negotiable.
what we call that in the academy, because yes, it's showing up with the meals, but protect your progress. Like, no matter if you're away in a hotel, protect your progress. Like, if that means getting up early, training, it's you protect your progress. And that's the, it's like, you just do whatever it needs to do to protect the progress, not to go backwards. And it's like a, it's more of a mindset that, like, you just want to make sure your progress is there, maintained, moving forward. And it's a, it's the shift, like, between someone that's floating with their training and coasting compared to someone that really wants it. It's just the person that wants it, no matter what situation in, it's not I can't, it's a how can I type of mindset.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Yeah, solid.
For yourself, Pat, right? You've been training, I think you said 16 to 34, so 18 years. I think my mental, I think my maths is right there. If you had to get the same level of results in half the amount of time, how would you do it? So everything that you've achieved,
that's great.
If you had to do it half the amount of time, how would you do it?
It's a great question, man. Yeah, yeah. Okay, how long do you have? So
we, just what are the big things? I ask it to every guest. Yeah. Like, what are the big things?
It's great, man.
Like, it's great, you're wasting time.
All right, let's talk about the big blocks. Training wise, for too long, I just went in, I trained hard, no doubt I did train hard, I trained very hard, and it was just like, but I was just go in and be like, all right, today, like most guys in the gym, so, all right, today's chest day, cool, gotta hit my chest, pick fucking five exercises for chest, do 3 to 4 or 5 sets on each, walk out, and that was it. And there was no tracking, I didn't know what I was, how much I'd lifted last week, how much I'm lifting this week. Once I started tracking, that was the biggest game changer. And I probably, I didn't actually start tracking until I started powerlifting. Like I said, that was a game changer for me. So that I probably wasted about, I won't say wasted, but I didn't optimize about 7 years of my first 7 years in the bodybuilding. And yeah, look, I had a good physique, but it wasn't as good as it could have been because I wasn't tracking my weights. Nutrition wise, again, same thing, would be not tracking. Are only tracking in a fat loss phase, only tracking when I was bodybuilding, when I was, a lot of guys fall into that trap too. You know, there's like, oh, I'm just trying to put on muscle now, so I just eat plenty. You know, you're definitely 100% leaving progress on the table by doing that. So you need to be, you know, it doesn't need to be, you know, chicken and broccoli all year round or anything like that, but you have to have some kind of handle on your macros and what kind of protein, carbs, fats, and everything else that you're getting in across the year, especially in the muscle building phase. Training, nutrition, probably even mindset wise, just kind of start to treat yourself like you are. For too long I was like it's sort of related when I was saying, oh, you know, if I'm training chest, I usually use the 25s, and you just kind of stay in this kind of comfort zone of who you are and your own identity. Whereas you need to start treating yourself like you're already that guy that's 5 years ahead. You know, you're already that big lad. And then, honestly, hand on heart, the biggest thing I would have done differently is get a coach now. Like, I've had coaches on and off over the years. Now, for the past, I've had a coach now 2 years consistently, nonstop. That's just been a game changer. I wish I could have got out of my own way earlier and just it's probably like a lot of guys just kind of arrogant and just a lot of, you know, just like, oh, sure, I know what I'm doing, look at me, I look good you know, and just kind of maybe a bit arrogant about the process when I was younger. And honestly, I have the utmost respect. I really do have the utmost respect for guys that come to me now and they're 24, 25, 26, whatever it might be. And they're like, yeah, look, I want to outsource, you know, I want a professional in my corner. And like, especially if they're on the younger age of that, the younger side of that, you know, 22, 23 or whatever that, like, I respect that level of humility, which is something I probably didn't have for the first couple of years of my training.
I'm going to touch on that, right? Because, like, I see so many guys that could just go to a whole different league, like with their training, but also their life too, if they got a coach. Now, the elephant in the room is obviously coaching. It's an investment. So, like, for you, like, you obviously were training 16 years, you got a coach and things like that. You said you had multiple. Like, if you're this experienced and this at this level, like, what is it? Like, explain to some of the guys that maybe never had a coach, like just the sheer benefit that you've had from getting coaches, and how is it worth its money? How is it worth its money? Like, yeah.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing a coach will give you is sort of objectivity. So, you know, for you to be able to, you know, I say you probably get it all the time as well, Ben, as a coach, you know, guys will come and they've spent the last however many years, you know, they'll, you know, 1 week they're feeling kind of skinny. So they're like, no, I want to bulk up now. I'm going to, you know, get plenty of food in this week. And they're really pushing the food. 10 days later, they're looking in the mirror like, ah, oh, getting kind of soft now. I need to cut down a bit. And I thought, oh, I'll start hitting the cardio. I'm going to do cardio this week. And it's like just flip flopping between these bulk and cutting phases. And they just end up in what I call it no man's land. Like they end up kind of not particularly big, not particularly lean. It's just kind of like, you know, a big lump of a guy that's looks like he's been in the gym. Whereas, you know, a coach can just look at your physique and say, no, we're going to prioritize fat loss for the next 6 weeks. Keeps you locked into that goal. So you're, even if, you know, in your head, you're like, oh, no, I just want to get big. No, coach has said 6 weeks, we're doing fat loss. We're going to tick this box, get it done. And then we can switch gears and say, right, we'll do a more of a building phase. And likewise with that building phase, our fat loss phase, it's not just like, okay, now I get to eat whatever. It's like, okay, we're going to add this much food at this much, you know, at this time of day. And he can just sit back, or she can just sit back, watch your physique, and give you objectivity. And you know, if you're saying, if you're having a bad day, or you're saying, oh no, I feel kind of skinny this week, or I feel like I'm getting fat, they'd be like, nah, look, you're fine. Or you know they can just give you objective fact, so to speak. Another thing is, in terms of training, is like, I think a lot of guys, myself, we're all guilty of it. Everyone's guilty of it. You know, we go into the gym and we kind of gravitate towards what we like to do. It doesn't mean we're not training hard. It doesn't mean it's not necessarily a hard exercise, but we go towards even probably what gives us good positive feedback. You know, I was always a good bencher. I'd always do bench press, like probably like most guys. Last night I was hitting front squats by coach's orders. I hate front squats, you know, and a coach will often make you do something that's like outside your comfort zone. And you know, sometimes if you're coming to a coach and you say, well, actually I normally do this or this, that's, you're coming with the wrong attitude. You know, you gotta be an open have an open mind and just ready to do what calls for. And often a coach will make you do the hard stuff and do stuff that you would normally do, and that's what's often going to move the needle. Usually if it's things that you're weakest at, or things that you tend to shy away from, you know, you get strong on those movements and it will improve your physique.
100%. And like the thing that we were talking about before the podcast was about a roadmap, like whereby you can actually say, look, you're at 92 kilos to get you at your body weight based off, like, coaches just have a coach's eye. Me and Pat, like, we can just tell, right, you're 6 foot, this is the weight that you're going to be. And you get an idea. You can also give a realistic personalized time frame. So say, for example, in your fat loss phase, like a slow rate would be like 0.5% per week of body weight. Faster rate would be 1 to 1.5. Then we can actually look at a time scale and give you real accountability. And even as well, like sometimes the data doesn't lie. Like if you're halfway through your so-called phase and your rate of fat loss isn't there, then it's right time to up the ante. Then with a muscle gain phase, like one thing I always say to the guys is like, see if you can gain 10 kilos of lean, good quality tissue in a year. That is like, and just see setting those markers for people, like you said, that roadmap, that mentally just takes your training and takes you to a different level, just having that clarity and timelines and deadlines and structure. Even just like people, I honestly do think that guys are too infatuated with like the best split on a structure on a week-to-week basis, whereas you actually need to be structured on a yearly basis and focus on that. And that's where the professional really comes in.
100%, man, 100%. I knew it would come back to me, and it has come back to me. So I'll just put it out there. You're talking about the structure of training and stuff like that. You asked me about what are guys often surprised with. And often it's like, for me, it'd be like moving away from the bro split and just hitting every body part one day per week and stuff like that. Whereas I find like a higher frequency, guys can, I'll usually do like say 2 lower body days, 2 upper body days, stuff like that. Guys can be kind of surprised with that. And sorry to got loop back around. But it just came to me there, and I think it is a good tip for guys too. Is like, you know, don't get married to that. Oh, Monday is chest day, Tuesday is legs, Wednesday is this. You know, don't be afraid to mix up your training. Like you said earlier, I'm training for sort of strongman these days, and it's a lot more like every day pretty much you're doing like it's a lot more kind of full body based, as you know, you're training movements, you're not training muscles, so to speak, and it's been great for my physique. So there's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say. So
multi-muscle sessions are what 90% of programs I'll program for, just those we're hitting muscle groups more frequently. The body can recover a lot more frequently than what people think. And like at the end of the day, if you're trying to maximize, like if you can hit your chest 50 times in a year, doing it once a week, why not hit 100 times? And for smaller muscle groups, if you're really like, if you really do want arms, delts, calves to grow, like you could even be looking at 3 times a week.
And you know, I want to clarify that as well, as like guys, sometimes guys can get intimidated when we say that, and they're like, oh god, I'm busy, man, I don't have time for this, you know, I'm already hitting it once a week, that's enough for me. You know, we're not saying double your workouts this next year, you know, double your workouts and hit it 100 times. We're saying cut, I believe we're both saying kind of cut your workouts in half, or you know, cut it down and do half your chest work on Monday and half your chest work on Thursday, and you're still hitting it twice a week. You're still getting two opportunities for growth within 7 days, as opposed to one opportunity for growth in 7 days. And like, let's be honest, if you train chest and you do 6 exercises, by the time you get to that fifth or even fourth or third, fourth, fifth, sixth exercise, your strength is down. Your intensity is not going to be there. Even if mental intensity is there, you're just not going to be able to handle as much weight. Whereas if you do like a little bit on Monday and then you let it recover and you come back and hit a little bit on Thursday, when you walk into that Thursday session, you're strong again, you're not sore anymore, and you're ready to hit it hard again. So you'll get two 100% sessions rather than sort of one 80% session or 70% session, if that makes sense.
100%, it's the quality. And an expert coach will be able to program those very intelligently so that you're covering all parts within the week and things. So no, I think what I might do, because this was a very juicy podcast filled with so much value, I think I might put this into two parts. But Pat, where can the guys find out about you and your coaching?
Yeah, so the main place that I'm on is Instagram. It's The Kaizen Strength Coach.
Okay.
The Kaizen Strength Coach.
Bit of and a that's mouthful. Instagram?
Instagram. So it's KAIZEN, The Kaizen Strength Coach.
Awesome. And Pat Curran as well, just if they're searching and things.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Pat, exactly. I really, really do appreciate your time today. Today was epic. Like, there's so many. You see, guys, honestly, like, what we've discussed, like, I honestly go back for it and write these points down, because you've just got like a cheat code to make way more progress. Like the bits that we've got out of this is like, it's insane. Like, it'll skyrocket the rate of progress that you make. So no, Pat, I really, really do appreciate your time and your generosity too, bro.
Likewise, Ben, appreciate the opportunity. And I'll back up our point. We put out some good information there, so I'd encourage guys to sit and maybe, you know, think outside the box a little bit, or you know, don't be afraid to tweak something in your training, tweak something in your nutrition, step up that extra level, that extra gear, and you'll reap the rewards.